Does he take your pictures?
Is your husband involved?
What does he even do?
Welcome to the Instagram Husband Podcast.
Welcome to the Influencer Husband Podcast. Yeah, did you see what I did there? I actually changed the name from Instagram to Influencer because no one wants to run into any trademark issues. I'm your host, Jordan Joseph Ramirez. My wife is at Danny Austin on Instagram and on YouTube, and I am an influencer husband. This is the podcast where we come together to talk about all things influencers. We discuss the business of the industry, influencer and internet culture. I share a different side of the industry from my perspective as an influencer husband. We're going to talk about what it's like to be married to an influencer, but also married to the lifestyle of an influencer, and kind of all things in between. That being said, this podcast is a forum, a conversation, if you will. So if you have an idea for an episode or just generally like the show, then do me a favor. Open up iTunes on your Apple Podcast app, navigate to the Influencer Husband Podcast, leave a rating and a comment with all your ideas, feedback, improvements, episode ideas, conversations you wish I would have, etc. I do read every single comment and DM that you all send me, and I don't take lightly the effort you take to send that feedback to me. In fact, that is where this episode idea came from. One of the most asked questions that I get from other influencer husbands is, how do you know when it's time to become a full-time influencer husband? It's a very complicated question and cannot be answered simply whatsoever. There's kind of two different components to this question. The first component is the part that is particularly to my story with Danny and our situation and our story and how that unfolded to me becoming a full-time influencer husband. And then there's the advice I would have for you on how to decide if it is the right time to switch over full-time. So I want to include a couple points of clarification here before we even start the episode. First, let's keep influencer husband as a broad umbrella term here. When I speak about, you know, the idea of an influencer husband, I'm kind of being a little tongue in cheek with what people in the public or in the press have identified me as. But my main mission with this brand, podcast, or whatever this ultimately ends up evolving into is to both own it. It's taken me quite some time. I've met a lot of other, you know, influencer husbands that have really inspired me in my journey and given me a lot of confidence in this area, and then redefine it in a less derogatory way. But the term influencer husband could also include your mom who helps you. It could include a part-time assistant. It could include your best friend. I define an influencer husband as whoever is your right hand in your influencer career or in the career of an influencer. And I want to clarify this because I want everyone to find something valuable here in this podcast and not get stuck into thinking marriage is a prerequisite for being successful in this influencer industry. Second point of clarification, I originally tried to cram the relatable and educational into one episode, meaning I tried to share my own personal testimony and the thought exercises I would want you all to have on when to transition into full-time influencer husbands into one episode. It was just too much for one. And so I divided this into two parts. The first part, this episode, is about my own personal testimony or story in this space. I get this question a lot on the internet and in real life, and so I felt it would be good to share my personal story in this. I think that although it's particular to me and Danny's situation, I think it serves as a good foundation for those out there going through a similar time in their journey. But if this doesn't interest you, then I definitely say come back for episode two. The next episode, I'm giving you all the ways that I would approach the question for you and in your situation, how to best make the decision for you on deciding whether you should either hire a full-time influencer husband or your husband should switch over, so on and so forth, right? So now that I have those clarifications out of the way, let's jump into today's episode. So I've been a full-time influencer husband for about a year now. I think that all the influencer husbands' journeys start out roughly the same. Most influencer husbands start with a normal job. You know, they leave at 8 or 9 each morning, They come home at 5 or 6 each night. You know, their wife has a blog on the side. They typically don't really know what that means, because Instagram for us is about memes and friends from college and passively scrolling. And, you know, you start sitting at your desk at work or during lunch, you know, you open up your phone and you see your wife's Instagram stories. You start seeing her with other girls during the day, or you start seeing her doing photo shoots and you say, oh, that's sweet. You know, you go get them, babe. But then you start coming home and now you have to take photos at night, and there's obligations or events or things that you guys are being invited to. And you say, huh, this whole blogging thing, what does this mean? And then you start missing your dinner reservations because you have to get that outfit picked first. You know, and then a couple months go by and you're back at your desk and you open up your wife's Instagram stories again. And now she's in the Bahamas or in Napa, and you say, huh, that's interesting. And then it's the end of the month and you start opening up the mail and you get your paycheck, your 1 to 2 paychecks per month. And then you get your wife's 6 paychecks from her brand partnerships that month. And then you're like, honey, let's talk about this whole blogging thing again. You know, and of the dozens of men I've talked to out there, this is the general gist of how they realize that they are now influencer husbands, meaning that there is a conversation that needs to be had where their wives are doing something that they love, that people follow online, and that has become a portion or a significant portion of the family makeup in terms of both time, energy, effort, cash flow, et cetera. And so, you know, that I would say is the most generic example of how these sort of influencer husband conversations evolve. And they come to me and they say, hey, Jordan, you know, what is this whole thing? You know, I'm obviously a kind of a step ahead, you know, already having left my job and really investing in this industry with Danny. So my story with Danny was a little bit different, and I'll start back in 2015. So when we met in 2015, I was the chief marketing officer for a tech company out of Austin. In 2013 or 2014, I had already gone through an acquisition with another small app company. I was in my early 20s and I was kind of convinced I was the next Zuckerberg, as I think most millennials were or are. I don't know anymore if that's still the case, but yeah, that's kind of where I was at that point in my life. And I'll explain why this was a problem later. But where Danny was at is Danny in 2015 had been on YouTube for probably 3 years at this point. She had already moved out to LA for a period. She would leave for weekends to go to the Grammys or some other big event. She was still in college too. And when we first started dating, I wasn't incredibly involved in this space. I thought she just had a channel with a lot of perks. I remember her senior year of college, she received a Casper mattress for free, you know, and her shoebox apartment couldn't even fit 2 mattresses. And I had to be the one to get it back into the box, which was way harder than I knew how to do. And so not only was it too soon for us to really be thinking about how this whole influencer thing was going to fit into our future together, but that term influencer wasn't even really invented yet. We didn't know that the industry was going to develop like it did and evolve from just free perks and, you know, cool events that she got to go to in 2015 into what it is now. And I think that at the time I was also still just trying to impress her with my own accomplishments at the time. And so here we are, we're back in 2016, and now the influencer industry is really starting to take shape, right? And Danny is kind of finding her place within that. You know, she kept evolving and, you know, kept building relationships with more and more women online. And so she graduated college in 2016, and it was soon clear that she was not going to PT school. She was going to blog full time. And so 2016, you know, we're both growing in our careers and developing, you know, as professionals. And, you know, our careers started presenting, you know, 2 very distinct and unique paths for our lives. You know, I was kind of working late, quote unquote, at the office or thinking of starting my own ventures at the time. And Danny was really traveling a lot more and starting to invest a lot more in what I called her tribe. And she just called simply, quote unquote, my girls. And, you know, then we're at 2017. And in 2017, that was the year that we got engaged. And in 2017, we really were stressed. We were trying to plan a wedding on top of all of these incredibly demanding individual career paths. And it was in that time that Dani was starting to realize that she wasn't just creating content from her bedroom anymore. She was really having to run a business. She was having to file taxes. She was having to keep records. She was having to answer hundreds of emails per day. She was having to have me or her mom or anyone who would agree to take multiple pictures per day. She was having to manage the back and forth of brand partnerships and so on and so forth. And, you know, in early 2017, that was actually the same year that we hired Cassidy just to try and keep up or make a dent in the workload that existed. Again, I'm committed to my career. She's committed to her career, but hers is a business that is growing. She needs help. So, you know, at some point, Cassidy should and will get her own episode one day because of, you know, just the blessing that she has been to our team. But Cassidy wasn't even enough at that point. And, you know, from the hours of 8 to 6, roughly, I was gone and I couldn't really help her while I was gone and, you know, invested in my own career. And so after I left my job, I would come back and from 7 to midnight or so, we would catch up on the mountain of work, typically administrative work, still needing to be done just to kind of keep the business flowing and working. And so that was, you know, accounts receivable of invoicing to brands and, you know, the accounts payable of paying photographers and videographers and other people kind of helping Dani run, you know, the brand and the business and just create content every day. And this was all in between building out our wedding guest list or seating arrangements and everything else that wedding planning kind of requires at the same time. And so the point is that we were just drowning and we were stressed. And this was the year right before we were supposed to get married. And you know, I think I wrote some really thoughtful articles on how engagement just totally sucks on Dani's blog, if you'd like to give those a read. But it was just really reminiscent of the season that we were going through right before what's supposed to be the happiest time of our lives. And so the timing of this tidal wave of opportunity, which is really what it was, is opportunity, came with this great wave of responsibility as well. And that kind of brought us to start questioning things. And, you know, I think that what we really started asking is this really what we want our first year of marriage to look like? Working until midnight, burnout, stress, anxiety, you know, and we were also asking, is this really developing a sustainable lifestyle or even a sustainable marriage for us at all as well? And in 2017, we really started to understand the phrase, the burden of opportunity. We felt like our lives and our careers were both developing and presenting us a fork in the road. You know, we could slow down this whole blogging thing and focus on developing my career, which would require just more inherently from Dani, you know, back at home or like if we eventually had kids, or we could lean into this influencer industry and continue entertaining people every single day with Dani dancing and silly snippets of our lives, et cetera, right? And both were viable paths, and we knew that both would work out somehow. We could have path A or we could have path B, but we just could not have both. So this is, you know, before I get into all this, I think that this is where most influencers or influencer husbands find themselves, is they are kind of stuck between this decision point, this fork in the road where they're like, oh my goodness, my wife is taking off on the internet and people love her and she has all these relationships and brands want to work with her and it's a sustainable business and I need to help. And I just feel like I'm leaving her every single day to kind of manage this mountain of work. And she's stressed all the time because she's managing all these deals. And I just don't really know what to do at this point. And it is an inevitable fork in the road between path A and B. And it can be done where you have both. But I want to tell you why it was not possible for us to have both. When we first went into marriage, we knew that what we wanted was for our marriage to always be our number one priority. And we knew that marriage was going to be super hard and take a whole heck of a lot of work. And we didn't want to get to the point where we realized that before it was too late. We wanted to go into marriage with the understanding that we really needed to treat this as a priority. And it had to be the number one priority. And what that meant for us was quality time together and teamwork and investment in each other's passions and goals. And, you know, buying a home together and making decisions together and talking and always kind of staying on the same page. And we just knew at this time, because of the taste that we had gotten in 2017, that we just knew at this time that if I had to come home after 6 o'clock p.m. and get back to our second business, or Dani had to not live up to her full dreams and potential because I wasn't there, it was going to negatively affect our marriage eventually and inevitably in some way. So for us, Dani and I, we had to choose path A or path B, but we couldn't have both. So path A was probably a more traditional path, I'd say. It was probably more reminiscent of the cultural values and perceptions I had at the time. You know, my salary could have more than supported our family, and we both knew that I could have continued to rise in my own executive path with age and maturity. And, you know, Dani could have slowed down a little bit and helped raise our kids one day, and we could have just kept this whole blogging thing as a hobby, right? So that was path A. When it came to path B, or, you know, Dani committing to blogging full time, I think that what it really required was for me to look at the opportunity without emotion and with the same logic any good MBA out there would. You know, I think one of the main factors, both relevant to this episode and especially relevant to my decision to become a full-time influencer husband, was opportunity cost. So if you don't know, opportunity cost is a very basic economic concept defined as, quote, the loss of potential gain from other alternatives when one alternative is chosen. So repeating that one more time, the loss of potential gain from other alternatives when one alternative is chosen. You know, what I was really looking at is, if I left my career, what would be the loss of potential gain from that decision? You know, would that prevent me from learning the skills and gaining the maturity needed to be one day the CEO of a major company? Would that ostracize me from the business world and be a deterrent to that little sheet of paper that defines me called a resume, and vice versa? If Dani left her job blogging, what would be the loss of potential gain from that decision? At the time, you know, she was truly passionate about being a best friend or big sister to her audience on the internet. And I think that that audience was maybe 150,000 strong at the time. And, you know, we had to ask the question, what if God had plans for that audience of, quote, her girls, you know, she calls them to grow to 1 million. What if, you know, he had plans for her to one day connect all of those women together into a community she would eventually call the Sassy Club? You know, what if quitting would have prevented all of these potential gains to happen? You know, she could have quit, and then she could have lost the esteemed, sought-after ability that every blogger wants, which is to acquire a six-figure brand partnership, or working with her favorite airline, Southwest Airlines, or being able to see parts of the world that she never would have traveled to before. And, you know, there were opportunities and opportunity costs on both paths A and B. And I think that the exercise for us was just a good old-fashioned exercise of pros and cons. You know, for us, I decided to become a full-time influencer husband for a couple different reasons. And I want you all to know that the next 3 points, which are the guts of this episode, they are my personal points, my personal testimonies. These are not rules that anyone else should follow, because everyone's situation is and will look different. I'm sharing these with other men and women to relate, not to present a rule. But if you come back to the next episode, you know, in part two, I think that I am going to present to you some thought exercises that will help you analyze your situation and determine your own set of rules for whether you should switch over or hire an influencer husband, right? So let me go into kind of my 3 reasons I deviated from path A to path B, which is where I'm at now, which is that we are now working together full time. And, you know, we sort of leaned into this arena. So number one is when Dani told me that, quote, stability is a slow death. So I think at the time I was much more navigating towards path A, right? I liked the stability of it. I liked the perception of it. I liked the way that people would see me as the breadwinner and the person who comes home and, you know, like takes care of the kids. Like, I just kind of wanted to be that. I liked that more familiar and understood perception of reality, right? And I think that my actions were sort of navigating that too. You know, I was trying to be the best executive that I could at the time. You know, I was trying to jump from a startup to a startup and, you know, increasingly find more maturity and professional skill sets. And, you know, I also was chasing after a paycheck in a lot of ways, and I was defining my own value by what someone would define it for me, which is basically what they would pay me. And I had my whole kind of identity wrapped up into that. And so that's really what I was chasing. And I'll never forget when Danny kind of came in and we were having a conversation. I was probably at the time, you know, trying to convince her that path A was better for our lives and, you know, why it was going to make her happier and, you know, stuff like that. Right. But, you know, I'll never forget when she said to me, she said, "Hey, Jordan, I just want you to know that stability is a slow death." And, you know, looking back on it, it's reminiscent of why I love Danny the most, you know, because I think in our particular situation, you know, and what I was doing with our lives is, you know, Danny and I kind of had always known that we had really big dreams and aspirations, you know, both individually. It was one of the things that we connected on when we first met. And I think that big dreams and aspirations are always going to have a significant amount of risk associated with them, you know, and as you get older, what happens is I think you become way more aware of the risk. And, you know, the risk feels scarier than it does when you're younger, right? And so, you know, being in our mid-20s at the time, you know, I feel like I was more serving a paycheck and a sense of stability in life over what I kind of felt God had originally created me to do or called, you know, Danny and I to do. And when Danny said the line, "Stability is a slow death," for me personally, it put me on a track of realizing how my thought patterns were really not conducive for truly assessing the opportunity cost between path A and B, because the way that I was looking at the opportunity costs were plagued with fear of what others would think about me and a future I thought I wanted. And all of those were basically just building this continual false sense of security anyway, because if the influencer industry crashed, you know, I could get fired, you know, on the spot as well. Like, things can happen in both path A and path B. And so I really wasn't looking at things clearly. I was just thinking of things in a more traditional sense, if you will. And I think that Danny and I have always been big believers that you really can't serve two masters. And I think that money is a master. And if I didn't stop serving it, you know, and open up myself to greater possibilities and greater dreams and losing that stability, I think it would be a situation where I looked back when I was 40 and said, "Oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I didn't do that. Like, what was I working for? Now I'm at this job that I hate and I'm miserable," et cetera. And so, you know, I don't want to say that stability is a bad thing. I think that there are a lot of people who would kill to have stability in their lives, whether that be job stability or financial stability. And so I don't want to speak negatively of it. It was particular to my situation in the sense that I was building my identity on it, and it actually was keeping me from happiness more than it was creating for me happiness. You know, it's a really hard kind of line to walk, but that was really kind of number one of what tipped me over the edge. And I think it'll make sense in later points too. But, you know, the second thing that helped me assess path A and path B a little bit better was when I originally was looking at path A, I kind of saw it as, well, path B of the influencer industry, man, that's an ever-changing industry. I have no idea what's going to happen with it, right? It could tank tomorrow. It could just be a fad. And I think that's what a lot of people think, right? And so I'll say this, the second most respected woman in my life is probably my mom. And, you know, my mom has worked at the same company for over 30 years. My dad at the same company, actually Southwest Airlines, for 16 years. You know, they're very, very confused by Danny and I's lives now, and I don't blame them, but that's kind of a whole other episode and issue. But I think that was really hard for me in switching over full time as an influencer husband was the perception of my parents and what Danny's parents would have on me, right? I see typically our parents' generation as, I guess, what is it, boomers? Generation boomers, I think. But they, you know, they grew up as in a very corporate culture. You latch onto a company, that company gives you benefits and security and stability for the rest of your life. And if you're loyal to them, the company's loyal back to you. And we're just in a different time. So I think that for, you know, boomers who are raising millennials, I think that every reasonable parent of a millennial wants their kids to have a happy life. You know, they send their kids to college in hopes that their kids will have a comfortable and stable life. And when I talk to our family or my mom about whether I should switch over to this new career path, I opened up about the perception of instability. Path B just seems scary. I didn't want Danny's parents to think I was irresponsible and not able to take care of their daughter. I didn't want my parents to worry or make a mistake that dishonored the investment that they made into my education. You know, remember talking to my mom and actually a mentor at the time as well. And the gist of the conversation was me saying, hey, I have path A and I have path B here, right? And, you know, path B seems really unstable. Like if, you know, we're going to jump into this whole influencer industry, it just seems like a scary jump, scary leap. You know, it seems like it's an industry that's changing really fast. It's very new, doesn't have much maturity to it. And I'll never forget, they both looked back at me, both of them in different ways, of course, but in so many words said, hey, you know, I get it, but we don't know what's going to happen to any industry anymore. You know, and the point that my mom and mentor were making is that change is part of your competitive advantage now in the new corporate environment. In the traditional corporate man/woman who is loyal to the company and the company is loyal back and, you know, you work there for 30 years, it seems like the people of age and wisdom that I respected were telling me that that's really not the name of the game anymore anyway. I could probably do a whole episode on the way that Amazon and social media and software and globalization has transformed industry sectors, but the gist of it is that a stable 9-to-5 for 30 years isn't even in the DNA of our corporate cultures anymore. The key is to jump into something while the water is warm and be ready to adapt when it cools down. And I think I made the decision that the insight and growth I would experience in the influencer industry, which one could argue is the next wave of digital marketing, was far more valuable regardless of its instability than playing it safe, because no industry is really safe in this changing landscape of business anymore anyway. So I think that, you know, the idea that every industry is changing really had a lot to do with the way that I surveyed the opportunity cost between paths A and path B. So the last point that was very personal to my journey is more, I think, on the heart side. But, you know, I think that, you know, your heart for life and your heart for business should be relatively the same anyway. So I wanted to kind of open up about it. But, you know, it has a lot to do with, you know, the altruism, or, you know, probably better put, you know, my heart at the time versus, you know, sort of Danny's heart at the time. And, you know, I'm just going to say this out loud because I know it's true, and I'll say it that like this, Danny is a better person than me. And well, okay, I guess the best way to say it is that Danny, especially through our marriage, makes me a better person every day. And, you know, for all of the single people in the audience, you know, my one bit of marriage advice to sneak in here is always, 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 always marry someone that challenges you, and kind of like iron sharpens iron, that effect happens. So this period in our lives, you know, 2017, when we're trying to choose between paths A and B, we're looking at the opportunity cost, we're weighing pros and cons. You know, it took multiple conversations and patience and seeking wisdom from a lot of other people we trusted. And I think that Danny and I most of the time look at things a lot differently. Not better, not worse, just different. You know, I think I'm more analytical and detail oriented, and she's kind of this creative entrepreneurial dreamer. And I always say that every decision that we make together is the middle ground between her and I's perspective. But there are certain things that she's just flat out right about and I'm wrong about. So I think when I was looking at the opportunity cost between paths A and B and trying to navigate away from being a full-time influencer husband, you know, I think I was just fundamentally looking at certain issues through the wrong lens, you know. So when I would bring up, you know, what will people think, you know, it was Danny who would say, why do you care what people think? Don't make a decision for them, make it for you. And, you know, whenever I would bring up this idea of, you know, what if we don't make as much money, you know, Danny would remind me, well, we shouldn't be chasing money anyway. We should be chasing how we can, you know, serve and love people the best. And I think that I was probably more logically correct in a lot of our thought exercises, meaning that if we were looking at the situation pragmatically, at the time, you know, there was probably more risk in path B than path A. But I think that what Dani did was she helped me reassess the weight I held on certain things like numbers and stability and replace that value to things like service to others and impact on lives and just our general sense of adventure and happiness. While I probably had a better case in terms of the numbers and things like that, I think that in the longer term strategy, or so I thought, I think that what really tipped me over the edge was what I was witnessing God doing through the platform that Dani was running. And that was using the platform to connect other women, to instill a greater sense of confidence in women, to help women feel more themselves, you know. And I think that in my career, I really was only chasing things for me more than anything else. I mean, let me clarify. It probably wasn't as evil as it sounds. It just means that I was more so after promotions and growth and status and, you know, everything that I could sort of glean or gain out of my career for my own identity. And it doesn't mean I wasn't serving people outside of my work, but it wasn't necessarily a place where I felt very altruistic or purposeful beyond competing in the game. You know, and again, I think I just wanted to be the next Zuckerberg like every other self-respecting 20-something out there did. And Dani is, and I believe always has been, on a mission for others and not for herself. I think at the end of the day, I was looking at Dani's platform and I just sort of felt like it was kind of selfish of me in a lot of ways to not support her in, you know, what was happening through her platform. It was growing. It was a viable business. It, you know, had a lot of altruism to it. You know, it was serving people. And the only reason I wouldn't have joined it was because I wanted something for my own false sense of security. And that was very particular and unique to our situation. And, you know, that is, I would say, the altruism involved in what Dani was doing through her brand and platform was a big levitator towards path B that steered me away from path A. So, you know, those are kind of three things that are pertinent or particular to, you know, my story. And I have been Dani's influencer husband for about a year now. And I will say it has probably been the most professionally challenging environment I've ever been in. I think I'm growing in skills and maturity faster here than I ever could have imagined trying to quote unquote rise, you know, the executive ladder. But I will say in the same sentence that it has also been the most personally rewarding experience as well. It truly is the life I would have always wanted to have with my wife. And so does that mean it's a life for every husband and wife to work together in this influencer industry? Does that mean you and your wife are professionally compatible? Does our story mean that if you just take this leap of faith and quit your job, you will also succeed? No, 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 and no. It is not my mission with this episode and never on this podcast to sell you a pipe dream. My hope in this episode was to kind of give you part one, which is an insight into how I thought through becoming a full-time Instagram husband. And my goal next week in part two is to give you a framework for how you can be thinking through whether you should make this leap into full-time influencer husbandry. I can't really give you answers, but I can give you the right questions and thought exercises, from engagement to metrics to the character makeup of a good influencer husband to some insight into the job, etc. And so tune in next week and listen to part two of this episode, and let's figure this all out together. But for now, I appreciate you listening to my story. I hope it answers the question. And now whenever I get the question, I can direct them to a podcast episode.